This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, the term God is just is an absolute truth. God is fair is an absolute truth. However, this brief statement isn't always enough for many people to find peace in. And that is why it was from the great mercy and great wisdom that the Quran came with far more than just that. God is just. Trust His justice. Await His justice. Instead, the Quran and the Sunnah, an extraordinary feature is their illustration. They portray for you, they paint out for you this beautiful image of just how precise His justice is in this world or the next. The scholars have written volumes about this principle, which they call al-jaza' min jins al-amal, that if you're paying attention to the Quran and Sunnah, you'll find that God's justice is illustrated, is depicted in the fact that the repayment always seems to come identical to the nature of the deed that was performed. What we would call reciprocity. You know, when you reciprocate, two-way street, the response comes matching the whatever initiated it or whatever prompted it. Reciprocity. Al-jaza' min jins al-amal. So for instance, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Make mention of me, I will make mention of you. For sure, Allah being mentioned by us is His right. And it's a privilege for us to mention God. But it is greater when God is mentioning us, because who are we to be deserving of mention among the sinless beings, the angels being bragged of? It's not exact in size, it's augmented, but it matches. You make mention of me, the reward is going to be perfectly matching. I'm going to make mention of you in a superior way, right? Similarly, Allah Azza wa Jal said to us through the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن, that the most merciful among humanity will be receiving mercy from the most merciful of all, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, الرحمن. And he said, ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. Show mercy to those on earth, the one upon the heavens will have mercy on you. من لا يرحم, he said, لا يرحم. Whoever doesn't show mercy doesn't get mercy. Perfectly matching. Even the ayah in Surah An-Nisa about the best security policy for your children. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ, and let them, you know, be fearful, those who are going to leave behind vulnerable offspring. Most children outlive their parents. So you're going to leave behind someone who is likely vulnerable or may be vulnerable after you when you're gone. Allah says, let them be afraid of being unfair to the orphan children, because that's going to come back now and get reciprocated potentially in your own children. So notice the connection between those who are going to leave behind their children and the verse before it, which I did not mention. Now take care of the children of those that were left behind, surviving their parents as orphans and vulnerable. Or when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, بَشِّرِ الْمَشَّائِينَ بِالظُّلَمِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ بِالنُّورِ تَامِّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Give glad tidings, like encourage and motivate, and have those who walk in the dark to the masjid, to the mosque, have them look forward to the fact that they will have what? Not just a reward, but the most complete light on the Day of Judgment. You walk through the darkness when fatigue was setting in and your workday was winding down and your body was letting out the, or secreting the melatonin, the go to sleep now hormone, right? You fought that off and came to Maghrib, or no, I'm going to pray Isha, or I'm going to pray Fajr in the masjid. I'm going to work through the darkness. You get the most light on the Day of Judgment. It comes perfectly matching. Or a more specific example, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Jibreel, the Archangel Gabriel, said to me, Bashir Khadija, give glad tidings to your wife Khadija, radiallahu anha, bi baytin fil jannah, that awaiting her is a house in paradise, min qasab, made out of, built out of pearls. La nasab, la sakhaba fihi wa la nasab, that does not contain any noise pollution, any loud, annoying, disruptive noises, nor any fatigue. Why does Khadija get that? A house made of fortunes, in which there is no fatigue, in which there is no noise or clamor, because she was the one, think about it, you make the link yourself, she was the one who spent her fortunes on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam before anyone did. And she was the place where he found calmness, where he found quietness, where he found tranquility from the noise of society and even from the shock factor when he first encountered the angel Jibreel. She was his peace. So she will have a house of fortune that has unique peace and tranquility in it. Or on the other end as well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allahumma man waliya min amri ummati shay'an. O Allah, whoever assumes any position of influence or leadership in my ummah. You're leading your family, or you're leading your community, or you're leading the Muslim nation, whatever it may be. Any of them, O Allah. فَرَفَقَ بِهِمْ, and he's gentle with them, tries to make things easy for them. فَرْفُقْ بِهِ, be gentle with them, O Allah. And O Allah, whomever assumes any position of influence in my ummah, فَشَقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ, and he makes things difficult for people. فَشْقُقْ عَلَيْهِ, make things difficult on him. You see, this principle, which I'm offering examples for, it is priceless. If you just adopt it as your new lens with which you read the Quran and Sunnah, you will just develop unprecedented, deep and profound appreciation for the Quran and Sunnah and for Allah Azza wa Jal. It all ties together so perfectly. It's so harmonious. It paints a very clear picture now that is well beyond God is just, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if you think about Ibrahim alayhi salam, why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see Ibrahim alayhi salam at Al-Baytul Ma'mur? When Allah allowed him to ascend through the heavens, in the seventh heaven, he saw the spirit of Ibrahim alayhi salam sitting there, back resting on Al-Baytul Ma'mur, which is the Kaaba of the heavens, of the skies. It is sworn about in the Quran, in Surah At-Tur. Why is he there? Because he built the Kaaba of the earth, or erected its pillars, the Quran said. So it matches perfectly. And he says, I saw around him an endless flock of little kids. And I said, O Jibreel, O Mikael, who are these, all these children? And I was told, these are the children that died upon the fitrah. The children who died before adulthood. The children of Muslims, the children of non-Muslims, right? Who died upon the pure state. He's there as their caretaker until the Day of Judgment. He protects them, if you will, and keeps them company. Why? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam was the protector of the fitrah. He was the only Muslim on the face of the earth at his time, and he protected what he was born with until Allah, from the heavens, not the earth, sent support, revealed to him revelation, and commissioned him as a prophet. So it matches that he is the caretaker of the people of fitrah. These young, pure souls who did not reach adulthood in this world. And on the opposite end as well. Look at the opposite. Look at Qawm Lut, the people of Lut that rebelled against their prophet, right? And, you know, gave in to the carnal appetites and became driven with immorality and this sexuality and same-sex acts and all of this. Allah did not say, I punish them, and that was all. His perfect justice was clearly illustrated. He said, فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. We made its top its bottom. The city in which they were in was reversed, was flipped and crushed them inside. Because they had reversed the natural order with which Allah had ordained for the betterment of humanity. Or you look at Fir'aun. You know, when Musa alayhi salam came to Fir'aun and said, fear Allah and stop being so arrogant and stop oppressing the people of the Israelites, Banu Israel. Fir'aun was very nasty. He had many crimes, but every crime had a corresponding reciprocation, responding, perfectly matching, just punishment. So for instance, Fir'aun, as the Quran records for us in one place, used to say, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرِ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. Don't I own Egypt? And these rivers flow beneath me, the Nile and the waters. I'm in control of this place. Who are you? So Allah said in Surah Al-A'raf, you got to make the link. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانَ وَالْجَرَادَ قملة والضفادع والدم آيات مفصلات. We sent against him the flood. Here it goes, the Nile overflowing. Control it. Fix it. You own it, don't you? You're in control, aren't you? And then he said, the jarad, the locusts. You know when they come like a dark cloud in their massive numbers, they can annihilate the entire crop. No harvest that year whatsoever. That's the locusts, like the grasshoppers. And then he said, al-qummal. Al-qummal are like basically the mites or the bed bugs. What are you going to do? Is the army going to help? Is the national security going to help when you can't sleep at night? Everyone is trying to sleep, is getting bit 24 hours a day. You control Egypt, fix that problem. I was reading recently that the United States, the superpower of the globe, spends $80 million every single year in the Northwest just for their termite problem. Fix it. Go ahead. And then it said, al-dafadi' and the frogs. Every time you grab some water to drink, or you open your pot to cook, or you pull over off your blanket to get some sleep, it's infested with frogs. And all they carry, of course, of bacteria and otherwise. And disease, it had infested, came out of the Nile and infested every corner of their lives. And the fifth and final one was ad-dam, the blood. The scholar said, with regards to the blood, you see, Fir'aun had oppressed the Banu Israel, the Israelites. So there was two classes. There was the elite, oppressive, slave over owner class of Pharaoh, the Pharaonic people. Then there was the Israelites. Every time someone from the oppressive class would grab the water, it would turn to blood. Couldn't make use of it. And every time someone from Musa alayhi salam's followers, Banu Israel, the subjugated class, would grab the water, it would remain water. To the point that they were so desperate, it mentions that one slave master told his slave, pour some water in my mouth. And so as he pours the water into his mouth, it turned to thick, murky blood at his throat. So that was one of his crimes. I control Egypt and its rivers. Here's your repayment. Another crime that was well known about Fir'aun is that he loved to mock people, right? He loved to patronize and make fun of, ridicule people. In the Quran, we have many examples of this. When Musa alayhi salam would address him, he would turn to the entourage. He wouldn't even speak to Musa alayhi salam. And he would say, "Am ana khayrun min hadha alladhi huwa mahinun wa la yakadu yubin?" Aren't I better? Aren't I above speaking, conversing with this one who is a lowlife, maheen? He's a nobody. He's trivial, insignificant, and he can hardly express himself. Look at him. He has a speech impediment. I'm not talking to someone like that. He would love to mock. Or elsewhere in another surah, Allah says that Fir'aun used to hold against Musa alayhi salam the fact that he was poor. فَلَوْلَا أُلْقِي عَلَيْهِ أَسْوِرَةٌ مِّن ذَهَبٍ. Why doesn't this guy have like an entourage the way I have of angels? He would say mockingly, why isn't he wearing gold bracelets the way I wear? He doesn't have any fashion, doesn't have any budget, doesn't have any, nowadays they call it drip. You don't have nothing to flash. So why should I talk to you? So he would like to humiliate. How did Allah repay him for that perfectly? The Quran says, وَأَتْبَعْنَاهُمْ, and we followed up on their life, فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا, in this world, with a la'na, with a curse. Every time you read the Quran, you're cursing Fir'aun and the people of Fir'aun. Perfect reciprocation. Yes? وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ هُمْ مِنَ الْمَقْبُوحِينَ, and on the day of judgment, they will be people who will be disfigured. They will be the most hideous of faces to look at. They will have the most humiliating appearance. You know, a third and final, very quickly, example of the crimes of Fir'aun being matched perfectly with the most suitable punishment is that Fir'aun never let up in the torture. He never let the heat let up on the people. He would slaughter the boys in their infancy. He would, every infant child, every other year, he would slaughter them for many reasons. How did Allah repay him? Allah did not allow the punishment to let up. He did not even allow him to wait till the day of judgment for his punishment. The Quran says, "An-naru yu'raduna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya." Those people, the fire, they will be subjected to its anguish, to its torment by night and by day. "Wa yawma taqumu as-sa'a," and then on the day of judgment. Meaning this is happening in the grave. It won't stop. No interim, no wait. No, it's immediately. The same way his was immediate and relentless. And then on the day of judgment, أدخلوا آل فرعون, admit the people of Pharaoh, أشد العذاب, the most, into the most intense punishments. You know, many Muslims, and this will be my last damning example, recite Surah Al-Fil. And we may overlook the extraordinary justice that Allah dealt to Ashabul Fil, the army of the elephant. You know that there was a man, a king in Yemen called Abraha, who was so jealous of the millions of people that come to the Kaaba, and they still come until today. So he, at the end of the story, could not divert people to his cathedral. So he said, I'm going to go tear down the Kaaba. So he took an army of elephants to make good on his threat that I will tear the Kaaba apart stone by stone. And so Allah did what? He pelted him from the sky with what? With stones. Here are your stones. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِنْ سِجِّيلٍ. And what? It was an army of what? It wasn't planes. It was birds. طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ. Legions or armies of birds. You want to use the animal kingdom, one of the greatest of Allah's creatures, the elephant, against his house, I will use the smallest of my creatures. Small birds. They were not necessarily dinosaur birds or anything. Small birds with tiny stones for the animal you chose to recruit, and the stones you said you would dismantle. Perfect justice. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. And once again, my brothers and sisters, this works both ways. After the Battle of Mu'ta, when so many heroics were displayed and sacrifices were made by the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, you know, just the incident of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he held up the flag in the face of this army that was dozens of times larger than the Muslim army. He kept holding on to the flag till his right arm was cut off. Right? And so then he grabbed it with his left hand till his left arm was cut off. And then he grabbed this flag with the two remains, the stubs that were of his limbs, may Allah be pleased with him, until someone came from above and struck him down, martyred him. After a few days of grieving, because this is normal and natural and permissible, the Prophet ﷺ back in Medina came to the family of Ja'far and he said, enough crying over Ja'far. Don't you know what he's experiencing right now? Allah has replaced him for his two arms with two wings. Look at how the repayment comes. With two wings to fly through paradise wherever he wants right now. And that is why Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, when he would see the children of Ja'far, these orphan children, he would lift their spirits by saying to them, Yabna Tayyar, aw Yabna Dil Janahain, O son of the high flyer, or O son of the man with two wings. He's half man, half angel, basically. Lucky you. Look at how it came. And finally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to us that at the end of time, Allah will allow to emerge a leader in this ummah. This leader will be from the descendants of Al-Hasan, my grandson. And he had multiple grandsons, or two grandsons. Al-Hasan, out of his lineage in particular, think about why. Why him? Because lineage, ancestry, family line isn't very important in Islam, to be honest. But he said there will emerge a leader that Allah will honor this ummah by. Honor this ummah so much that when Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon him, comes back down, even he will refuse to lead the Muslims in prayer, and he will insist on praying behind this man, this great, great, great grandson of Al-Hasan. Why Al-Hasan? Ibn al-Qayyim says, and this is very beautiful, he says, it is because Al-Hasan wound up, we know this after the fact, wound up being the man who humbled himself and stepped down, back down, and gave up his position of leadership to bring two warring factions of the believers together, to bring peace to this ummah. And whomever humbles themselves for Allah, Allah elevates them. That's the promise. And so all in all, my brothers and sisters, you know, instead of trying too hard to understand how destiny works, which is probably beyond the finite, limited ability of the human mind, know that Allah has given you a share of dictating your own destiny. writing your own check. As they say, steering your own ship. Charting your own path because of his generosity. Let that be a reason to be inspired. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allow us to waver in our certainty that we will only get what we deserve or better from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us always remember that who conceals a Muslim gets concealed in this world and the next. And always remember that whomever relieves someone of hardship is relieved of the hardships of the next world, which are greater. And that whomever exposes a Muslim will be exposed. And whoever deserts a Muslim will be deserted on the day they wish they were supported. And whomever spends for Allah will be spent on by Allah that day. And whomever builds a house for Allah, Allah will, meaning a masjid, Allah will build for them a palace in paradise. And whomever assumes the best of Allah, Allah will in fact be there to help them and even exceed their expectations. May we be of those people. Allahumma ameen.